GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
All right, Sean Kavanagh is helping to launch Electric Ireland's This Is Major campaign to support its sponsorship of the GAA Minor Championship. Sean, along with Ollie Canning, Michael Fennelly and Daniel Goulding, have teamed up to form the Electric Ireland Minor Star Awards judging panel to shortlist the Minor Player of the Year nominations for both hurling and football throughout the championship. Those minor players will then be in the running for inclusion in the Minor Hurling and Football Teams of the Year, which will be named in October. And Sean is in studio now. How's it going?
All good, Nathan, yourself?
You're taking this punditry game very seriously. You're going straight down to minor level. You're going to be watching every minor football game this year.
Yeah, I thought just if I'm going to do it, I might as well take on everything. So,
well, this will stand to you in 10 years' time when you're there in the Sunday game and you can say, I'll always remember that Connacht quarterfinal at minor level.
I could definitely see myself, yeah, throwing those lines out there and trying to be above everyone else at that point in time. But look, yeah, it's a competition that... was good to me. I come on in 2000 and played an Ulster final in 2000, and then went 2001 we managed to play Dublin. Dotsie O'Callaghan got a last minute goal in Croke Park to draw the first game. We went up to Breffni Park. The Dubs took about 10,000 people up to Breffni Park, and the crack was good, and we managed to get a result up there. And that was special. As an 18-year-old lad, you don't expect to play in front of 10 or 15,000 people. So, that was a day to remember. And it's a competition that I've held dearly since then.
The rates of players who do well at minor who move on to senior, it's still quite small. When you look back now, almost, 20 years on, why do you think you had something that maybe some of the lads of similar level weren't able to make it?
I think what I was lucky with, and I have to admit this, I had resilience. I was one of those just a stubborn guy who just was going to do whatever it took to get there, and wasn't easily influenced by others. I think players nowadays can sometimes... get overboard about trying to look a certain way or trying to feel, whether someone's saying, oh, you have to be doing strength and conditioning, you know, you have to do that to make the step up. I always did what felt right was for Sean Kavanagh from an early age. So I had that naturally. I didn't need anyone to tell me that. And
is that almost more important off the pitch than what you're doing on it then? So when you're 16, 17, 18, life can be pretty good, especially if you're playing for a county team, suddenly you're in the pub, suddenly people are buying you drinks, everyone wants to be your pal. Were you able to, were you that self-focused that 17, 18, that you were able to steer yourself away from that?
I was lucky, yeah. I was lucky I was self-focused. I probably doing exams and being involved in knowing that I was going to go into accountancy and academics was for me, that helped me. Having the discipline in that end of my life then definitely helped me transition from a minor player on to a senior. I effectively went straight from minor to senior. So yeah, look, I think that's the biggest thing, because we saw players in Tyrone, likes of Kyle Coney played in the 2008 minor final. Aidan O'Shea was playing that day, and Kyle was a star already at 18, and you know, we watched him and he couldn't really transition. He was told he was the best player in Ireland from that very early age of his career, and he didn't have that bite that he required and that focus he required to hang in there and make sure he was going to be one of the best players in Ireland at senior level. So
See that quite quickly after he joined the senior squad?
It was difficult for him, because everyone was telling him that he was the best player, and I think it was slightly easier for me because I was a minor coming straight away. But ahead of me there was a Tyrone under 21 team that was that great team that formed the backbone of that Naughties team, with Brian McGuigan and Stephen O'Neill and Philip Jordan and Conor Gormley and all the household names that we become accustomed to. So it was easier for me to tag along with that, and I was able to find my feet whilst those guys were driving the ship. But you know, like some of the really big names that you see come from minors, you know, they are the, you know, and in a world now where social media and media in general has just exploded, people get carried away too quickly, and that definitely, if you haven't got an old head on young shoulders, that can affect kids coming through.
Yeah, it is hard not to get carried away, and we've such an example now with David Clifford, who probably is the most hyped minor since Kyle Coney. And it was noticeable over the winter when current Kerry forwards were being asked about David Clifford, and even somebody like Darren O'Sullivan, who at this stage of his career is probably considering retirement himself, was, well, he wasn't talking him down, but was saying, listen, it's a big step up from minor to senior. He's not going to have it all his own way. And when Coney was coming through, it was almost a feeling of, well, listen, he's the next Sean Kavanagh. Maybe he's the next Stephen O'Neill. He's going to go in and he's going to take that jersey. Where actually, you're not just going to step aside. People don't step aside for minors. They need to realise that actually it's a whole new fight now. Hard to get a balance to keep their confidence, but also take them down a peg or two.
Yeah, and it's a confidence thing that I thought, like, I've watched players who have won All Ireland minors with Tyrone come through the last 5-6 years, and they're some of the most talented players, like Rowan O'Neill, come through man of the match in an All Ireland final and tearing it up at that level, but confidence get knocked because maybe we're playing a certain style that he wasn't getting the freedom that he was used to at a minor level, and all of a sudden the head drops and you're trying to put the arm around the shoulder and say, look, it will come for you, your chance will come again. But some players struggle to recover from that, and that's, you know, David has that the talent from looking at him as a minor is quite phenomenal and freakish, but at the same time he's going to struggle whenever teams will inevitably double team him, treble team him, physically try to take him out of games, and that's where he's going to need people around him to and I hope he has that. I hope he has that mentality to be strong, because there's going to be games where he's going to get rattled, he's going to get knocked in the back foot, and he's going to get slated. I think he has to be ready for that.
Yeah, I guess. And looking at Ronan O'Neill, if your confidence almost is built on scoring 1-3 or 1-4 in a minor match, and suddenly you're playing senior football, you might only get two chances in the entire game, and you should take confidence in kicking one or two points. But if everything's built on racking up a big score, it's a hard thing to get your head around.
It is, and I've sat there beside people like that who I've maybe played a championship match and maybe been pulled off after 40 minutes, and it might have been the score at that point might have been 5-3, or, you know, you look at the Galway Mayo last Sunday and you realise it's a low scoring game, so you know, likes of Conor Loftus isn't going to score 5 or 6 points, but I sat beside guys that have maybe been pulled off after 35, 40 minutes and are sitting eating their dinner after the game, and they're opening their Twitter or their Facebook and people are telling them how poor they played and how awful they are, and you're thinking, that lad only really had a chance to touch the ball 2 times, 3 times, and people then form an opinion on that. But it was maybe because we were playing a Donegal who had 13 men behind the ball, and that person just didn't get a chance to get his hands on the leather. And that's the world we live in, and you know, people struggle with that, and we do have to remember we are amateurs, and those guys have to get up and go to work on Monday or do exams on Monday and try and get on with their lives. But it's a pressure cooker environment.
That resilience you seem to have had then from a very young age, like, it clearly stood to you as your career went on. Where did that come from? Because, like, I know when I was 16, 17, thinking back, I wasn't the most resilient. When you look at young children now, you want them to have that, and you wonder how you can instill it in them. Like, what was it during those, when you were a kid then, that built you up to this, even at 16, 17, strong enough to go down your own path?
Yeah, I always had the ambition, first and foremost. I always thought that I had the belief that I wanted to go to the top of whatever I was doing, and whether that was accountancy exams or whether it was I played an awful lot of basketball growing up, you know, and I accomplished a bit in it as well. I played soccer and accomplished in it. I just had one of those minds that was very single-minded, that whenever, you know, I was dropped once in my career. I was dropped, Art McCrory dropped me 2002, we played Wexford in a qualifier game, and I didn't play all that well. I was corner forward at that stage. I was about 16 stone as well. For whatever reason, it wasn't great.
It was a good summer.
The dad wasn't great. University was good before that. But, you know, I can remember the fight and the adrenaline that I had in my stomach at that point in time, that I swore to myself I was never going to be dropped again. And I don't know, I just was, I say I was lucky. I had that stature. I was always I was always big. I was 6'2" from when I was 16, and I had certain skills from basketball that I was able to transfer into Gaelic. And but yeah, most importantly, I just wasn't gonna accept not being where I wanted to be. And I'd say it was something that was natural. No one ever talked about it. But I think that is my most important quality.
Mm. So would you say you were hard on yourself during your career, or that would there have been many occasions where, like, can you think back to times when you'd go home after a game and think, yeah, I played bloody well there?
No, I was hard on myself. I was always hard on myself. There have been times where I went out and kicked 3 or 4 points and missed 2 or 3, and I'd be obsessed with the misses, obsessed completely. And I think an awful lot of sports people can relate to that. That you have to always be a certain bit of self-criticism has to be always there, that will keep you driving on to try and make that next match the best match. And that's what drives people on for long periods. And say I was probably luckier than most and longer than most.
When Brawley then questioned you as a man, that sort of criticism, I'm going to prove him wrong? Like, that kind of criticism is slightly different to he kicked 3 or 4 wides. It's deeply personal. It probably affects your family.
Yeah, that affected my family more than me, I have to say. I found that hilarious. I remember watching it. I didn't see it at the time. I watched it maybe later that night or the next day, and I had a laugh about it. I never actually thought it was going to be something as big as what it turned out to be.
Change the entire rules of the game because of it.
Well, I kind of knew what I was doing there, but in terms of the reaction and all that come out of it, it annoyed my dad. Like, I kind of hoped that my dad would never meet him, because there would be an assault charge, and with Brawley as a barrister, I think he'd be in trouble. But
did they meet?
Not yet, and I hope it doesn't happen. But okay, look, it didn't. I'm very conscious now, as being on for being on the other side, that I would never want to go into that realm of personal criticism, because look, you have to realize that everyone in GA has to go back to be a teacher on a Monday or an accountant, and It does affect people's lives. So I think you can do that without personally going after someone and trying to humiliate them.
What was it like going back into work then on the Monday and Tuesday?
You know what? It was funny, because like I had one man in the match in the game, and I was delighted with
should
that.
Should have handed it back.
I should have. I know, a real man would have done that one. But like, no, it. I was delighted that we had obviously sort of come under the radar and Monaghan were Ulster champions, and we were got back in the All-Ireland semi-final. That and maybe this is me being single-minded yet again, but that's all that really mattered at that point to me. I don't really buy into some of the stuff that goes on around the fringes of that. So no, it was a sideshow, sure, and I'm sure Joe enjoyed all the bits with that, but it didn't worry me.
Did you speak to him about it?
Sorry?
Have you spoken to Joe about it?
He phoned me 3 days afterwards, 4 days afterwards, on the Wednesday afterwards. He phoned me up and apologised for some of the comments that he made. I just said, look, don't worry, like, it's not gonna keep you up at night, sort of thing. But no, I haven't really spoken to him since.
Are you rostered to work together on the Sunday game anytime soon?
I haven't seen it, but I'm sure it'll arrive at some
point. If
they've
any sense, they'll make sure you're on together.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll raise his head. But look, I'm not that type of person. I don't like the idea of holding grudges. I don't like the idea of personally abusing people. And look, I'm pretty blasé about it all.
So you're in the punditry side of things now. We all saw you on the Sunday game on Sunday night. How much time have you spent thinking about it, and what sort of pundit and analyst you want to be?
Yeah, I'm very analytical by nature. I'm an accountant. I think that comes naturally. You know, I can remember sitting at home going through scores. I'm quite obsessive about soccer and reading like Division 1, Division 2, Division 3 results and seeing who scored for them and scoring averages and all that. So I'm huge into the numbers and the facts and the details, but you know, I do hope I can combine that with the experiences that I've had in the past 16 years. And you know, I think I compared last week before the Mayo Galway game, the Mayo team similar to the Tyrone team of 2010 and 2011, and I just saw similar traits. I saw an awful lot of 4, 5, 6 leaders that were in their 30s and fully capable of big performances on any given day. But it's hard when you know when you're in your 30s, and it's hard to continually back that up. And as much as you tell yourself that you're so hungry and you have that bite, at times it just isn't there for whatever reason.
I saw was Kavanagh says Mayo are gone.
Yeah, I think most people, but you know, that taught me in itself that, you know, how sensitive people can be, because I didn't think I excluded them from the Super 8's prediction because I thought Galway would win that game in Castlebar, and then I was surmising that, you know, they may struggle on the road, and they do have some, they could potentially meet some big guns along the road too. So you know, you can only predict these things. I didn't expect the furor when I come back out and saw the Twitter and saw some of the comments made that I had some sort of a personal opinion against Mayo, which is couldn't be.
No, you have a vendetta.
Word, actually, yeah. So, which is funny because I've only been a pundit for 5 minutes, and I'd look some of the guys that I've played far down through the years, international rules. I'm so friendly with Aidan O'Shea and Colin Boyle and these guys I've played with for so long, and they're great lads. So look, I've certainly no personal, and I don't want to become that person.
Yeah.
That has an agenda. I just want to try and call the seat as much as possible. I see other people and they may have agendas and may be looking to talk the game and or the conversation into a certain direction. I would like to think that I can sit back and be analytical about it all and combine the facts with the experiences that I've had.
Well, I think being able to bring the analytical side would be a huge asset, and hopefully they allow you some sort of deep dives into the figures, because it really does feel it's something we're lacking in the GAA. And there's some brilliant individuals online and on Twitter who are trying to go back over the last 30, 40 years and do some statistical analysis of the great games and even give us the figures of who are the all-time leading scorers in the championship. Things as basic as that, as you say, when you're into it in English football, you spend so much time thinking about it and obsessing about it, and it provides some entertainment over the year as well, that we're kind of missing that with the GAA. It's all just this one match and what's the most controversial thing you can say a lot of the time.
Yeah, and there's maybe too much broad brush about, you know, it seems to be we're constantly trying to change the rules or constantly trying to maybe berate the way Gaelic football has been played. Gaelic football has been played. I thoroughly enjoyed the I don't use the Mayo one. Maybe didn't enjoy the Mayo Galway game, but I fully expected it to be a strategic, tactical, tight battle. And you know, it may not have been beautiful, but there were some really tough hits. There were some tight battles going on all over the pitch, and there were guys given no quarters, and it was
a lot at stake.
It was huge. They were trying not to lose, some players more so than trying to win the game, but I enjoyed watching it because it captivated you until that 76th or 77th minute. So look, those type of games, I see merit in them. There's loads of traditionalists out there that are always going to talk about the games of the 90s and the 80s that you know, was 4:16 to 3:15 and was a great time. But you have to be realistic about where the game's at. And I love the game as to where we're at now. And I'm realistic to know that players put so much effort into it from October through to the following August or September that, you know, they're not just going to play the game in a way in which they think that is going to entertain people but isn't going to give them the best chance to win. And that's exactly what Galway have probably done. They've gone from a team that was nice and played great football and played it in so-called all the right ways, but they're now in a place where they're just looking to win games. And Mayo's been very good at that over the years as well. So, you know, you have to be realistic about it.
How do you think you're going to feel on Sunday watching Tyrone line out for the first time in 16 years without you?
Yeah, I think I'm going to struggle. I think It was 2001, a quarter final against Derry. It was the last time I stood on the hill of Clonmacs. And I was gutted when Paddy Bradley sort of shoulder charged big Finbar McConnell, who's about 7 inches taller than him, and scrambled the ball into the net. I remember my heart sinking into my stomach. So it's got to be harder. It's harder whenever I was injured over the years and I was watching the games. At times, I wouldn't have even gone to the games because it broke my heart watching players that I thought should have been doing something differently. And whenever you're a player, you're in control. You feel as if you can always impact. And even sometimes you're on the bench, you can feel as if you can impact the game, and that's, you know, you're much more relaxed character on the sideline and the terraces. I know I'm going to pull my hair out every moment.
You're just a lot less forgiving when you're not involved.
Completely, yeah. I'm going to be a nightmare. So yeah, I'm just going to be constantly shouting that big number 8 Kavanagh wasn't half the footballer of his brother.
And are you just going to watch in a personal capacity, or are you going to be working?
No, I'm going to be his personal capacity on Sunday. So yeah, the family has I got the family season tickets at the start of the year, so I was printing out the season tickets there earlier and last night, and I realised that for the first time realised that Healy Park has a seating plan, and I seem to be stuck in the corner at row R or something like that, so I'll probably be hanging around the steel at the corner of the stand shouting abuse at someone.
Well, if anybody's listening and they want to give the Kavanagh family the best seats in the house,
happily accept.
You'll happily accept them. When you left the panel, was it a clean break? Have you been back in? Do you keep in touch with many of them aside from Colm?
Yeah, look, some of the guys are, I think I mentioned Niall Morgan and punditry the other night, and he was WhatsApping me right away, mentioning him going out and doing four hours out there.
Never talk about me on the television again.
He was loving it, because Morgan would have loved the idea of being able to break up the field, and he plays outfield for his club, because we were talking about the leash keeper Brody and his runs out the field. So he sent me a few messages and that. I'd keep in contact with a few guys. There's a real good group there, and
are you missing it?
I missed it last night when I watched Colm pull up after the Tuesday night session and realised that that's the last hard session. You always know that the Tuesday night before the championship was the last hard session, and then you could have those 4 or 5 days of enjoyment where you just let your body get into top mode and enjoy the buzz and the adrenaline that come with championship week. So it really started to hit me from there, and I think on Sunday morning I'll be like a bear, so I'll just have to get on with it.
What have you replaced that with? So much of your identity is built up around Gaelic games, from the adrenaline side of it, but also the way you talk about maybe being harsh on yourself and assessing yourself, whereas actually you can be a bit more chilled out. I presume you don't go home after work every day now and sit down for an hour and think about the accounts you got wrong.
Hopefully I didn't get too much wrong, but yeah, look, no, I genuinely I've poured my hours probably into it. I've my own practice and I'm all over Ireland, and I genuinely have tried to pour the hours that I was doing into Gaelic football and into my business. But look, I'm still playing with the club. The club won the All-Ireland Intermediate in just mid-February there. So I kind of forgotten that I was retired up until, you know, a couple of weeks ago. And it's only really starting to hit home. And I think it'll be Sunday where it'll really be gut-wrenching me. But c'est la vie.
What's life been like around Moy since you were crowned All-Ireland champions?
Yeah, it's been amazing. Something that I played. I made my debut for the Moy seniors as a 15-year-old, and so like 20 years later.
What size place is it?
It's a small village. We kind of bounced from senior to intermediate the last probably the last 15-20 years. We hadn't won any title at all since 1982, the year before I was born, and my father played in that team. So I had to listen to him for like my whole entire life, saying that he was the last Moy player to have won any silverware at all at championship level. So at least we bridged that gap and gone that bit further. So it was just amazing the way that you're able to step out of the bright lights of county football and to go back to something so much more intimate and loving and caring, and you're seeing the people every day at the shop and at the church and in the, you know, just in your everyday life you're meeting people that share that success. So it was lovely to be able to, because ultimately those were the people that helped me every time that I needed help through my county career as well.
It must be brilliant as well, I think, for an 18 or 19 year old in Moy who now goes into training once, twice a week, and is playing alongside Sean Kavanagh.
Scary for me, because I'm realising now, like I was doing runs the other night, and I was looking right and looking left, and there was guys that were 17 effectively standing right and left of me, and I'm over double their age. It's crazy. I haven't accepted that point either. So, but look, I'm still trying to be a young fella, and I'll still play the game as long as I can.
What are you expecting from Tyrone then this season? I know there were times earlier in the season you were frustrated with the tactics, that they were still seen as overly defensive, and also I remember talking to you after the Dublin defeat last year and how you felt you were a long, long way away, and that in fact most teams were a long way, that you really need Dublin to have an unbelievable off day to have any chance, which is a terrible way for a Tyrone player to be going into any season. Do you think Tyrone are going to be any closer?
There's nothing to suggest that we are, unfortunately, Nathan. It's one of those. I think every team is waiting on Dublin to drop that level.
Was that the first time you felt like that after the Dublin game, that you actually felt, even at our best, we cannot win an All-Ireland title?
Yeah, and that is a harrowing thought, because before that game, I was absolutely convinced we would win the All-Ireland. Absolutely, 100%. I didn't think anyone would touch us. We'd wiped every team that year and that we'd played. And we thought Dublin was this bit of a thing that the media down in Dublin would have built up, and maybe there wasn't an awful lot of substance there, but we quickly realised there was a fair bit of substance there. And yeah, look, I think Tyrone are in the same boat as Galway and Kerry and Mayo and Monaghan and these teams that are there waiting on their opportunity. But you just hope that Dublin will drop, because it kind of is a bit predictable at the way things are going. And with the Super 8s, I think it'll only make them stronger, because their panel I'm hearing chat that they've now got two separate training nights, for they're splitting their squad with two training sets of 20. In each, and you're thinking, are they getting ready for?
They're splitting themselves.
Maybe Colin works right, but yeah, look, they are incredibly strong, and yeah, everyone else is hoping.
Enjoy the game.
I'll try to.
Thanks a lot for coming in. Sean Kavanagh in studio today, helping launch Electric Garlands. This is Major Campaign to support its sponsorship of the GAA Minor Championship.
GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.